Like us to consider the Word of God at Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3, this dawn of the new year in the Lord's house, opening up the Scriptures and worshiping God in their light, that we may live according to this light all the year long. Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to be focusing on the well-known verses 5 and 6 about trusting in the Lord. But to get the context in which is much practical wisdom and true wisdom, the first 12 verses, Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Thus far we read the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 3, the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. This is Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6, a well-known text, of course, used often at confessions of faith, and certainly something written on our hearts as something, some word of God that is such a light for us in the midst of the many uncertainties of life. And so I would leave it with you and for you to hear and hear and hear all this year, and for me as well, that we might hear and hear and hear the call to trust in the Lord and to know that he will direct our paths. Now for this, in the best way I can, in all my weakness, I do want to share a bit of my life, and we're reflective this time. And I'm thinking of my father, who passed away in 2019 and who was a commercial airline pilot. When I was a young lad, I thought, I'm going to be like Dad and I'm going to fly. And my hopes and my dreams were dashed of that kind of a career when I was told that my eyes weren't good enough. And you could not be a pilot in those days, a commercial airline pilot, unless you had uncorrected 20/20 vision or something like that. And my dad flew for an airline that most people probably don't even know, TWA, Trans World Airlines. They used to kid each other and say this was traveling with the angels. They were above the other pilots, they thought, and above even the earth and earthly things. Well, now why do I say that? I say that because, again, I'm being reflective and I'm saying that as well because my dad, who had good sight until he died, did not have the sight of faith. And this was the tragedy of his life. And God, who didn't give me that career, gave me the sight of faith. And to be be a child of His. And that's what He does for all of us. He gives us something greater than some career or some keen vision and insight, natural or developed. He gives us a great gift. It's called faith. And that's what's at the heart of this text here. And that's where I want to start. When the text calls us and God calls us this morning, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and to lean not on our own understanding, when He calls us so that in all our ways we may acknowledge Him and promises that He will direct our paths, that's here and now. And that's for all of God's people who've been given to know this first thing, that this year is a matter of God and of His faithfulness. And that's my first point. Just think about this. And again, let's all be pondering without being overly ponderous and overly more, even morbid, but thoughtful and expectant. This whole idea of trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not to our own understanding, it's a matter, of course, of God and His faithfulness. Before we believe and think about what we're going to do by faith and so on, that's so good. Think about God and what He's done for us. That's what faith does. We think about God. God-centered from day one in 2020. And you see, that's the keen vision of faith, far better than 2020. We see things. We see things. And we see a God who's trustworthy. We know that in the light of the Bible, in the light of the book of creation. We know that God has written these truths in our hearts. God is trustworthy. Nothing else is. No one else is. Can't rely on anything or anyone, or certainly not yourself. But on God we can rely. He's able to deliver us and whatever we need in 2020. He's God. He made the heavens and the earth. He's not changed by time. He won't be either in 2020, and nobody's ruling over Him. Nobody's going to change Him. He's not going to change His mind. He's God. He's trustworthy. For you to trust in, you and 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 whoever's out there. And therefore we can rely on Him. And it's because He's able not only, you see, and this is a very important thing about God to know. He's also willing that we trust in Him and be blessed by Him. And what I mean by this is that if God were just able to be trustworthy, we'd still have a problem, and that's our sin. And so we might say, well, God is able and I'm going to trust in Him. But if God does not love us, we have this problem. And if He's not willing and loving to save and to bless us, we have a problem with God because we're not holy and we're sinful. And so that's why we love the Bible, because it reveals how God is not only able, but He's willing to be trusted, and He is to be trusted even though He's holy and we're not. It's because the Bible's about Jesus, of course. It's about the Christmas Jesus, the cross Jesus, the Jesus of 2020, the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, and the Jesus of the Old and the New Testament, the Jesus of all times, Jehovah Jesus promised and come and now exalted to the right hand of God, and coming again in 2020. And that's not to scare you, but it is to remind you that that's what's going on in 2020, the coming of God again in the end of time, the coming quickly of God again, who came in once in the person of his Son and paid for our sins, who now will come as judge of heaven and earth, and who will be vindicated and glorified, the name above every other name, before everyone will bow. That's going to happen in 2020. And I say that not to scare you. Shouldn't scare us. But it's true. That's why I say it. He's coming quickly in 2020. Now, we're not date setters, but we are believers. And the Word of God says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Amazing. That's what we ought to be looking for in 2020. The God who is able to be trusted and who is the God who loves us. And so we know we can trust in him. You see, he's not going to use all of his holiness and his power, children, young people, sinners, minister sinners, everybody else sinners. Not going to use all his power and holiness to damn us. And if we fall in 2020, and we will, we'll stumble, we'll sin, we'll compromise, we'll break our resolutions, or if we had none, we'll be reminded we should have had one or two. And in every way, we'll show ourselves not so consistent as we ought to be, not so pure as we ought to be, not so wise with our time as we ought to be, not so loving when we should have been, more loving and patient with wife or husband or children or brothers and sisters or ministers or elders or deacons. Whenever we show that, it's not that God is going to push us away and say, "There you go, you are no more mine." That's the beauty of the faith. It's a God reliable, the God trustworthy, God of grace, who cringes not to dwell with sinners, but who is glorified in their salvation, preservation, glorification. Want to know that in 2020? And we can know that because of what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a faith. It's a great gift that he gives. Joining us to this wonderful thing. Can I say this to use the metaphor? And again, it's just so that you get it and keep it and hear it and hear it. It's like God has taken us to be on the plane and to travel with him. And from the plane, his own presence, we get to see things. To see things as he sees them. A far higher plane at a far higher altitude than any other commercial airline or private jetliner or rocket ship could go. We're with God in this plane. It's not like, you know, God is our co-pilot and here we are with God directing things, but he's there. We're passengers. We're with God. And this is biblical, you know. The Bible describes our being saved as flying and being exalted to fly, to be on the heights, to be those who are in this world but not of it. We're going to heaven, and heaven is come in principle, as we say. And God has saved us so much and blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's our life. The rarefied air of the presence of God in the Spirit is given. And beautiful. And our sight, you see, is better than 2020. And it's there, and you don't have it naturally, and you may not be able to fly the big jets and be admired, but God is with you, and you're with Him. And that's the first thing. Trust in the Lord, believers. And the second thing is, this text is given for practical wisdom of believers on earth, of course. And it's telling us that you can trust God even on earth. It's not like the plane comes crashing down or you land and then you're on earth. You're with God maybe on Sunday and then you land your plane on some runway or on the Hudson River, wherever. And now you can relate to people. No, it's amazing. The truth of Christianity, we're taken up. And this year we'll experience this again. You're taken up. And while you're up, that's how you relate to this world. That's how you walk and talk and do your business. And our families and our single people and grow old and go to hospitals and help people and all of these things. It's about that mystery of God with us in the incarnation. It all comes back to that. God inhabits eternity, yet dwells with the lowly. We've seen this in Jesus and now in His body. We're in that position, that exalted position. On the plane with God, not God's, but there with Him in covenant embrace. And He just says, I want you on this earth. And I want you to trust me on this earth with the vision that I would call godly, godly. Not 2020, though that's a year. Godly, godly. Eyes of faith, both eyes of faith. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that means on this earth, in all your ways, really confide in Him. Really. The idea is to lean on Him. Stretch out as on a rock. That you know will never be moved. Whatever situation, circumstance, wherever you go, with whomever you are, rely on Him. With all your heart. The heart, the Bible says, is that command center, that spiritual center of your life. Everyone has a heart, even though they may have hard hearts. Everyone has a heart. Place where God dwells or is supposed to dwell. But sinners reject Him. But by the grace of God, He does dwell. And out of the heart, the Bible says, are the issues of life. So as the heart goes, your life goes. Your thoughts go. Your relationships go. Your future goes. And all of these things. Under God, and with you or without you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all that is within you. It starts there, not in your mouth. It starts there, in your heart. And then it issues in a confession, in a life, in all the other things of life. That's what the Bible is depicting here as is a very important thing to remember, because though we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and though He is the way, the truth, and the life, yet in this world, And again, we're on the plane, and yet we're in the world. There's many ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And there's many things. Many good things, many bad things, maybe neutral things, I suppose you'd call them. Opportunities, circumstances, and choices to make. And see, that's where the text has us. We're trusting in the Lord, and you get that? And now we're being tested, maybe, confronted, met with by different ways and different things and different people. And Proverbs is all about this, this practical wisdom on the ground. And there's especially two women against or of which Solomon is speaking in many of the chapters of Proverbs. The great whore and her way, and the wisdom of God, the Christ way. And ultimately, it's choice between those two. This world and its whorish ways and temptations, or God and His holy way, Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You see, in the midst of the ways and the things of this earth, we're to be sharply focused on God, sharply keen on trusting in God, and not in anything else. No carnal confidences here. When the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, it's saying, lean not on anything of yours. Anything just of yours, or of his, or hers, or theirs, or your churches, or the institutions of men, or your programs, or your plans. Don't rely on them. Don't hedge your bets. God is no mutual fund. He wants every one of your investments. You entirely. Always. It's the sin of man that's addressed here in the practical words of Solomon. The sin of man is self-trust, independence from God, day one of the fall. I think I know better, is what Eve said, and then Adam agreed. And the whole human race was plunged into this self-trust, into this way around trusting in God, or at least trusting entirely in God. I will call the shots. I will, in 2020, get up whenever I want. I will do whatever I want. I will do whatever I want on Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday. That's the sinful man. Now, of course, there's foxholes into which people are led. The providences of God in hard places. Foxholes, children, are places of entrenchment in war. And lots of people get to be praying when they think about death in war and so on, and maybe they launch a prayer up to God. Maybe in the heights of their successes, they vow, maybe on Times Square as they're watching the ball drop and in their drunken stupor and so on, I'm going to just give some of this to God and pass it on to the community, and this in the name of whatever higher being there is. Oh, beloved, this is carnal confidence. Trust not in chariots and horses and your understanding. And there's something here that goes beyond even the understanding and the obvious things in which we're not supposed to trust. And I'm thinking, for example, of emotions. Trust not in your emotions. They're gonna mislead you. Trust not in your, what some has called, a constitutional bias. Now, what is that? Not talking about the Constitution of the United States, but I'm talking about the constitution of you, your personality. Trust not in your inclinations. Trust not in how you're feeling this morning. Trust not in that. Oh, I don't feel like doing devotions. Don't trust in that feeling. I don't feel so good about this or bad about it. Not in themselves. Those are poor guides. Poor guides. With regard to decisions and directions and things, poor guides. Trust in God. Now, of course, that means trust in His Word. His Word, He's given us the guidebook. And that means in 2020, we're going to read the Bible. And we're going to think about the Bible. And if we can't read, we're going to listen to the Bible or have it read to us. We're going to go to church because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear unless there be someone who sent? That's called a preacher, and sent by the church and sent by God with an outward calling and an inward calling that no one can deny. And so that even if one might at the present age of youth, have an aspiration to be a pilot, maybe God's calling him to be a minister. And it's so needed because faith is needed and we're not so good at believing, are we? Over and over again, I need to come here and to hear and to sit with you and listen to Jesus. Oh. So there's a sharp difference between complete trust and hedging your bets, dividing your allegiances and your investments. And it's such an important thing to get. You see, we like to be in control. I joked with my children, maybe somewhat carnally, I don't know, that I just have one resolution, and that's that I can give you all your resolutions. Control freak. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to make resolutions for you and so on. Well, we can all do that. We like control. We don't like trust. That's hard. Especially when people have let us down, we think God will let us down. I think, for example, that this whole trusting thing in particulars in all of this is missed because we're missing something basic here. Comes out in verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him could be translated, in all your ways, know Him. That's it. It's just simply the word know. In all your ways, know Him. And I want us to think about this, and the Word of God is directing us in this direction. Before all the details of life have to be sorted out by you or you trusting in God even, the Bible is simply saying, in every one of your ways and your decisions and wherever you go, know God. Know God and make your decisions so that you can know God. And out of your knowing God, make your decisions and acquire your stuff or sell your stuff on Amazon, whatever. Just know God. In all your ways, know Him. And do everything you can to know Him consistently and intimately and personally. It's this relationship that's being called for and evoked by the text itself. The Word of God is bringing out to us the most important thing. Know your God. Not even, first of all, know your or His will for you, but that's related, but know Him. And He'll take care of the details. Just know Him. As you read His Word, as you pray, as you're less of you and more of Christ in you. So, for example, you're going to get married. Can you know God in your choice? Or you're going to move to Minnesota. The question is, are you God's man or woman, moving to Minnesota? That's before Minnesota. Who's going there? A knower of God, or a knower simply that you have a good work opportunity there? Those are the kind, that's the kind of perspective, that's the perspective. In all your ways, know God. That's it. It's very simple. In all your ways, make sure you're knowing God. And not just when you get there and you figure, well, He'll bless me. But as you're going there, and as you're thinking about going there, as you're thinking of buying a Ferrari or a beat-up old pickup, are you knowing God? All the details, but the details of how much you should spend and what kind of car is in your doing this thing called working out your salvation with fear and trembling so that you know God in the decision. Know Him. That's it. Know God. Know His Word. And then you won't lean on your understanding, but you're going to trust God as He gives you understanding. See, there's not a sharp contrast here between faith and understanding, or faith and knowledge. Some people like to say that. They'll say, as you enter the door, and maybe the deacon or the elder will be at the door, and they'll say, come on in, but leave your mind in the narthex. Let go and let God. Ignorance is the mother of devotion. Don't trust in your understanding. Well, what does the text say? The text doesn't say don't trust in your understanding. It says lean not on your own understanding. That's the problem. But God does give good understanding. And when He gives you that in light of the Bible, then that understanding you can trust. It's of God. It's a sanctified way of looking at things. When He gives you other people who bring the Word of God, godly parents, for example, godly husband, godly wife, godly brother, godly sister, godly children, it's a good thing to listen to them for godly vision, because these are means God gives. And then you see, as we're knowing God and seeking to know Him in everything, all of the providences of God are these things whereby we can be informed as to the will of God for us. 2020 for something greater than 2020 vision. So much more. I think, though, one more thing. When we're trusting in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding and in everything, knowing God, with regard to things, be concerned about things. Yes, of course. Give us this day our daily bread. But remember this. If you're going to know God in the things, you want to know grace in the things. Grace things. That's it. Grace bread, grace job, grace relationship, grace in the things. You see, later on in Proverbs chapter 30, Agur says, feed me with food convenient for me. Not too much, not too little, lest I get heady and proud, or lest I get desperate and deny you. Just right. That's what we're going to be thinking about with regard to church, with regard to families, with regard to individuals, with regard to acquiring things, leaving things, and so on. Lord, give me grace things, grace bread, a grace wife, a grace husband, a grace church, a grace brother and sister. And of course, grace comes in all kinds of packages. That gnarly person in my life, That husband who's making all kinds of resolution, he's done it for 20 years. He's still just him. But grace in that one given. After all, God gave Jesus. And who would have thought that grace would be in him? Who would have thought salvation in him? Nobody. So in 2020, by faith, and you're thinking about all your ways and all these things and knowing God and everything, remember Jesus. In a person in your life, in an opportunity in your life, and you're buying and selling, in health and in sickness, in all things. And the promise is he will direct your ways, your paths. Make them straight would be another translation. God will make your path straight. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy and there's no bumps in the roads, no twists in the roads, no dead ends, and we got to backtrack and so on. It simply means this. God will be guiding you and guiding you to follow him. Now, of course, sovereignly, he directs everybody's paths. He directs everything. And he is God, and none can stay his hand. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and the army on the earth, and that's what's going to happen in 2020. God is king, and may every knee bow. But here is a grace direction. God is leading those as they trust in him and know him in all things and aren't anxious. He's leading them to follow and to know him. So, I didn't get to fly, but I'm going to heaven. You too? All your ways acknowledge God, beloved congregation, and he will direct your path. He'll make the rough places plain. So you see, with the sight of faith. And then we can know peace. Praise God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray, would you direct us this year? And may we follow. And may it be, Father, that this year you take us closer to yourself and to heaven. Closer to one another, always with you. And Lord, may we be happy, that wonderful fellowship, wonderful light of the gospel, and of the grace of God. Bless each and every one. Guide us by your Spirit and Word into the new year. Establish now the work of our hands. Especially establish us in faith. Amen. Number 176, another versification of Psalm 90. O God, our help in ages past. Let's sing stanzas 1,